The A380 wing rib foot cracks draw an AD in Europe. Boeing addresses an issue with 787 fuselages. And critical ATC facilities face staff shortages. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 9th, 2012. The European Aviation Safety Agency has expanded its mandatory inspection of wing rib feet on Airbus A380s. It now includes every one of the aircraft in service, regardless of flight hours. Airbus has denied there's any safety of flight issue, but EASA says in its update to the Airworthiness Directive, quote, following an unscheduled internal inspection of an A380 wing, some rib feet have been found with cracks originating from the rib-to-skin panel attachment holes. Further to this finding, inspections were carried out on a number of other aeroplanes, confirming the existence of these cracks. During one of those inspections, a new form of rib foot cracking, originating from the forward and aft edges of the vertical web of the rib feet, has been identified. This condition, if not detected and corrected, may lead to reduction of the structural integrity of the airplane, unquote. EASA requires that any results of inspections also be reported to Airbus. Boeing says problems discovered in the aft fuselage of some of its new 787 Dreamliners are being corrected and that the repairs will not affect the airplane's production schedule. Reuters cites a Boeing email statement in reporting that incorrect shimming had been discovered on support structures in the aft fuselage of some Dreamliners. Spokesman Scott Lefebvre says there are no short-term safety concerns and that the planned production rate increase will go forward as planned. He did not disclose how many existing airplanes are affected by the problem. After Hawker Beechcraft sued the federal government over its unexplained exclusion from the U.S. Air Force Light Attack Aircraft Program, the contract winner, Sierra Nevada Corporation, felt the need to explain what happened, accusing HBC of misinformation. In a nutshell, Sierra Nevada says the Air Force needs those planes urgently. Quote, in its request for proposal, the Air Force specifically sought a non-developmental in-production aircraft so that warfighters in theater could have an advanced solution quickly and so that American taxpayers would not have to pay development costs. The plane proposed by SNC's competitor is a developmental aircraft that is not in production and has never been used for light air support or any other purpose. In contrast, the aircraft selected by the Air Force and to be provided by SNC, Embraer's A-29 Super Tucano, is a light air support aircraft that is currently in use with six air forces around the world, unquote. Retired Brigadier General Taco Gilbert, now a VP at Sierra Nevada, adds, quote, unbelievably, this is the second time that Hawker Beechcraft has prevented a light air support aircraft that has been thoroughly evaluated by our military from going forward to support our troops in need. Urgent requests for the A-29 from Afghanistan continue to languish because Hawker cannot provide an acceptable capability, but will not let anyone else provide it either, unquote. A couple of years ago, NATCA, the Controllers Union, was relentless in warning that the FAA wasn't keeping up with the retirements of its air traffic controllers, and it sounded mostly like hype. Well, now the DOT's Inspector General is raising a similar concern. The IG's office conducted a review at the request of Congress and identified 21 critical facilities. It found that enhanced oversight of staffing and training in those facilities is needed to maintain continuity of air traffic operations. Compared to other facilities, the critical ones have higher rates of retirement eligibility, controllers in training, and training attrition. In 15 of 21 critical facilities, there was a higher percentage of controllers in training than the national average of 25%. And between 2008 and 2010, there was a trainee attrition rate of nearly 40% at critical facilities. The IG says the shortage will worsen as the FAA begins deploying next-gen technologies, and adds that the FAA has concurred, or partially concurred, with all five of its recommendations to address the shortage. But KNSD-TV in San Diego reports the FAA disputes the IG's findings, saying it's on target with hiring and training. Still ahead, SpaceX announces a milestone in its escape system. Aviation comes together to tell Europe it's killing GA. And a record-breaking skydive may be close to happening. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, February 9th. I'm Paul Plack. SpaceX reports it has successfully test-fired Super Draco, an advanced version of the Draco engines used to maneuver the company's Dragon spacecraft. CEO Elon Musk explains, quote, "These engines will power a revolutionary launch escape system that will make Dragon the safest spacecraft in history and enable it to land propulsively on Earth or another planet with pinpoint accuracy," unquote. The Dragon, which is currently being tested as an unmanned cargo capsule, is intended to eventually shuttle crews to and from the International Space Station. 8 Super Draco engines built into the Dragon's sidewalls will produce up to 120,000 pounds of axial thrust to carry astronauts to safety should an emergency occur during launch. NASA awarded SpaceX $75 million last April to begin developing the escape system. Less than 9 months later, SpaceX engineers have designed, built, and tested the engine. A wide range of aviation stakeholders have come together to tell European regulators their fees are unreasonably high and a major drag on the industry in Europe. Even though the letter focuses on exorbitant general aviation costs, it has gained support from IATA and even Airbus. The signatories, which include IAOPA, EBAA, the Association of European Airlines, and Rolls-Royce, point to EASA's labor charge of over €246 per hour, or about $326 an hour U.S., as a glaring example of why the agency needs to get its costs under control. IAOPA's Martin Robinson says the widespread support from all segments of aviation will make the letter, quote, "very difficult for EASA and the European Commission to ignore. From GA's standpoint, we have always said that none of EASA's major overheads, big offices, large staffs, would be necessary at all if the organization existed solely for the regulation of GA. So it is unfair that GA should be forced to pay such significant sums towards those overheads," unquote. The Red Bull Stratos team may be close to an announcement that Felix Baumgartner will attempt his record-setting skydive in August over the New Mexico desert. Baumgartner plans to jump from a balloon at 120,000 feet, literally the fringe of space. His free fall would take 10 minutes and would actually break the sound barrier in the thin upper atmosphere. The London Daily Mail reports the program has been delayed by promoter Daniel Hogan, who claimed the idea for the stunt was his and sued to stop it. That lawsuit was settled last year. If he is successful, Baumgartner will set world records for the highest altitude free fall, highest manned balloon flight, longest distance traveled in free fall, and fastest free fall. And finally today, the National Aeronautic Association, the official record keeper for U.S. aviation and space, has announced its list of 2011's most memorable aviation and space records. Among the highlights, Stan Budenbaum threw his model glider made from balsa and carbon fiber high into the air inside an airship hangar, where it stayed aloft for 1 minute 52 seconds. That beat the old record for duration by an indoor model glider by 7 seconds. The plane has a 40-inch wingspan and weighs just 2.25 ounces. A Boeing 787 flew 11,894 miles from Seattle to Dhaka, Bangladesh, without refueling. That's a record in its weight class. Will Whiteside flew his Yak-3 at 416 miles per hour over a 3-kilometer course in the Utah desert, breaking the old record in his piston class by a whopping 112 miles an hour. And, of course, a team of students from the University of Maryland made the list for Judith Wexler's human-powered helicopter flight in July. She kept the craft, called Gamera, off the floor for 11.4 seconds, beating her old record of 4.2. You can find more notable records and more detail on these in the text version of this story, dated February 7th, at aero-news.net. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.